Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hello, everyone. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. I wanted to add something to yesterday's video on self. I'm debating whether I should add it to the book or not. I guess all I wanted to add to it, because I'm so concerned that I'm transmitting the meaning of this well. And I don't know, I may just confuse it further. There's a distinction we have to make in our minds between the self as a collection of moments or events that we put in a bag we call self. That's what samsara is. That's what the clinging and craving is about. It's about holding on to that event, repeating that event, owning more and more events, right? It's equivalent, not the same, but say you were running for whatever reason, fear, having whatever, and you're traversing territory and you're hopping a fence and you step in mud and you're just running and running, and then you run across some wet concrete. And then you run all the way home. Well, obviously, you're going to have to clean your shoes or your feet if you're barefoot. But hanging on to those events and creating that identification, that straw man, that house of cards we call the self, like that's our identity, is like saying that the mud and the concrete on your shoes, the footprints you left in the concrete and in the mud, the fence you jumped over and got scratched on, the flesh that you left on the barbed wire, whatever. That's all you. Now, it's not. You know that those are things in the past. They're events that you were entangled with, if you will, that you were engaged in, that you, as a karmic freight train moving through time-space, you made and left footprints. But those footprints are things that were left behind. They're in the past. Whoa, but they still exist. Yes, they exist, not as you, as footprints, as evidence. But they're not you. And yet, that seems really obvious, I think. But what we do with the idea of self is we hang on to all that stuff to create this idea of self. And until you start practicing Buddhism and invoking your Buddha mind, that's the way you will think about the self. If you look at those quotes I got from the dictionaries and online and so forth, everything, even that philosopher neuroscientist who's wrote that book that I quoted, is saying this is the way we think of the I. It's this constructed thing, and it's a solid one thing that is held up by all of those events. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he was saying. And he was saying, I think we need to start thinking of the I as a constantly dynamic, changing thing with input from several different. And I thought, hallelujah, a scientist is actually getting the point that we aren't a thing. We are a process. We are an observer, a witness of moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, right? Birth, death, rebirth, death, rebirth, death, rebirth, death. This process is constantly happening. It never is. It is moving, momentum, happening, living, being. All right. Sorry, I digress. So now we're at the point in this Buddhism reference where unless another term comes to mind, perhaps like this one did from a really wonderful question from one of you. We're in the back end of the book where I have some additional resources. And so what I say here is useful reference for the complete understanding of Buddhism and practice in this age of Mapo, also called the latter age of the law, right? This is the era for we, you and I, the bodhisattvas from beneath the earth, referred to in the Lotus Sutra, to practice and to propagate this ultimate teaching and to experience the Dharma, right? So, the first term that I've got here that I thought warranted some bullet points, I think I have four bullet points, right? And right now, this is the only entry in this area, so we may collect some more in here at some point. I'm going to start collecting them and do a revision release in maybe 6 months or a year of the book instead of updating it every time I have something new, because that's getting a little crazy. So, bodhisattvas from beneath the earth. I think people have asked me or challenged me on what I mean by everyone on the planet right now is a bodhisattva of the earth. Well, this is actually what the Lotus Sutra says. The Sangha includes people who are ignorant, who haven't yet discovered not the word Buddhism, but what Buddhism actually is, right? So they just don't know. And the only way they're going to know is by you and I sharing our lives with these people, which I mean that literally. This is the shoju. Your enlightenment, your understanding of the self as this process that you're engaged with changes the way you live life. Right? Coursing as bodhisattva in the Buddha way with the enlightened observer mind that understands that this process is ongoing constantly and that we're engaged in it. We're not a collection of memories and the past. That may be a handy device in samsara, but it actually impedes our enlightenment, because your enlightenment is happening right now, into the next moment, right now. Right? Otherwise, why even try? Because I was unenlightened, unawakened, didn't know about Buddhahood for so many years. That's who I am. No. Do you see how samsaric thinking puts a halt to your enlightenment, to your progress, to your actually experiencing all of your potential? This is the whole game. And I don't say game because it's an entertainment. I use it as a, right, you understand, how this works. Why we're doing it. So here we go. The first bullet point, bodhisattvas from beneath the earth. An innumerable host of bodhisattvas who emerge from beneath the earth and to whom Shakyamuni Buddha entrusts the propagation of the a priori law, Myoho Rengekyo, or the essence of the Lotus Sutra in the latter day of the law. Is that not representative of you and I? Remember the way all sutras, basically, I don't think there may be exceptions, but in some form, in the early chapters of every sutra, every sermon, there's a description of the audience, right? Bodhisattvas from here and there, and arhats from over there and from many lands, and Buddhas from here and there, and so on and so forth, and lay people and nuns and blah, 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 blah. It describes the audience. Well, in the Lotus Sutra, that audience doesn't include you and I until we get to the later chapters where Shakyamuni introduces us to everybody else, which includes everyone, every type of personage, mind, sentience from all over the universe, when he starts talking about the future, and there are plenty of bodhisattvas and others there who are like, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. Shakyamuni goes, thank you, but no. You can't do it. Only these, boom, we come out of the ground and hover with everyone else in the ceremony in the air. We are the future bodhisattvas spawned from the earth, right? And we, future bodhisattva, in other words, all the people in the future, will be responsible for propagating this law in a time that has so much distraction and avarice and foolishness that the clear teaching is in danger of being lost. People will not understand it. It'll just become another blah, 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 and it will lose its value, its efficacy, because it'll be so tainted that it'll just be another religion. And this is not religion. This is a life-changing methodology, yeah? So that's you and I. To quote the Lotus Sutra, quote, those who shall take, read, make known, recite, copy, and after copying, always keep in memory, in mind, and from time to time regard were it but a single stanza of this Dharmaparyaya, who by that book shall feel veneration for the Tathagatas, treat them with the respect due to masters, honor, revere, so on and so forth, end quote. Now, if that doesn't sound exactly familiar to what you remember from the Lotus Sutra, this is from the H. Kern translation of 1884. As you know, one of my little favorites. This is talking about your and my mission. How we're supposed to do this. Second bullet point. They are described in the Emerging from the Earth, the 15th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, the first chapter of the sutra's essential teachings, the latter 14 chapters, the Honmon, right? That's described in the book. Thirdly, in this chapter, countless bodhisattvas from other worlds ask for permission to propagate the sutra in the Saha world after the Buddha's death, but Shakyamuni refuses, saying that bodhisattvas who will carry out that task already exist in the Saha world, in the future. At this point, the earth trembles and splits open, and from within it emerges a host of bodhisattvas equal in number to the sands of 60,000 Ganges rivers. There's that hyperbole again. There's a lot of us. Each with his own retinue of followers. Each, you and I, with our own retinue of followers. People who are observing us. Right? That's a different kind of surveillance, isn't it? People looking to us for clues. Because everybody fundamentally wants enlightenment. Many don't know that. That's why we say ignorance. And we're the ones who are going to demonstrate the path. Bodhisattvas. Their bodies are golden and they possess the 32 features that characterize a Buddha. What is this thing about features that characterize a Buddha? That, right? That's earth language. That's earth talk. For you will impress others with these qualities that you have. You don't have to try to find these qualities. All you have to do is enlighten your mind. Those qualities will form, right? Excuse me. They will become, quote, apparent. This is a teaching device to indicate that these bodhisattvas are to appear in the future and, quote, latter days, end quote, of the propagation of the law. And the fourth bullet point, they are led by four bodhisattvas. Do you remember their names? Superior practices, boundless practices, pure practices, and firmly established practices. Do you hear how the name of these bodhisattvas is? Yes, it's a personage, but the name literally are facets, qualities, characteristics of how to conduct yourself as a bodhisattva, aren't they? There's no greater example than that one, I think, for us to get that thing about personages. You can look that up in the book as well, right? How all of the expedient means are shaped, formed, yeah? And of course, superior practices is the particular personage that Nichiren himself identifies with as a personification of that personage. Superior practices is the leader of the four. In the Supernatural Powers, the 21st chapter, Shakyamuni transfers the essence of the Lotus Sutra to the bodhisattvas of the earth, entrusting them with the mission to propagating it after his death, specifically in the latter day of the law, the fifth 500-year period after his death, right? So that's you and me. You may recall in Nichiren's Gosho several references to bodhisattva superior practices as his own embodiment of commitment and stewardship of Shakyamuni's teachings in this latter age of this, the law, the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Rengekyo. That's why he's our mentor, our bodhisattva, our teacher. That's what we're doing. So, next up, I have edited down my plethora of analogies to just a three or four like core ones, and we'll go over the analogies in the next video. But for now, really try to grasp the magnitude of your life, not only as this amazing opportunity for your own enlightenment, right, this precious, brief lifetime to get to know your real, true self moment to moment, yeah? How exciting. But also the grandeur of the importance, the significance of your life as one of 8 billion others on the planet, because you are influencing them through your environment. You don't have to try. Although if you do, good on you. You'll awaken much faster. You'll learn much. You'll teach yourself much faster. You'll realize your Buddha nature much more profoundly, much more broadly. And that will only add to your influence, yeah? So, kind of important that you're here. Okay? So in that regard, thank you. Thank you for your practice. And this is why I say, be kind to yourself. This is work. So take care of your health. Take care of those around you. Take time to love. And also, of course, as always, thank you for taking a few seconds to like and subscribe. Both of those things do a lot for the algorithm to help us spread this propagation, do our work as bodhisattvas. And so I appreciate that tremendously. And if you can buy some ebooks, you know, I just updated the this book, And if you get the print book online at Lulu, rather than, I don't know if it's reached out because I haven't approved a final yet. But when I do, it'll be available on Amazon and other places. But you can get it straight from Lulu. And that the most recent update will be there, so don't worry about that. And I don't think I'll be updating it again for quite some time. But that doesn't mean don't ask questions, right? I'll just collect them and do a major revision at some point in the future. So thank you for all of that work. Patrons, you know, it. Unfortunately, the only methodology we have for support these days is either donations, right? It's kind of like when we used to run around with bowls in our hands to get rice and food and money and from the population in our town. Well, we're global. So if I run around with a bowl around here, I'm in the Bible Belt, I'm probably going to starve. Which obviously I don't want to do. So your donations are critical and super, super appreciated, not just by me, but by anyone who uses this resource, right? So thank you. Thank you for watching and for practicing. Stay strong. I'll see you in the next one. All right. Bye for now.